Thank you, thank you. You are too kind. You are too kind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. There you go. Somebody say amen. So here we go. Exodus chapter 3. Could I get that turned toward me if you don't mind? Is that okay if I turn this? Is that okay? Just like that? Oh, perfect. Now I'm in stereo. I don't know how to say your last name. I'm not even going to try. Amen. And but if you can turn up, do you have the ability to turn the monitors up independently? And if you don't, that's fine. Exodus chapter 3. And the only reason a preacher asks for monitors, because if we can't hear us, then we think you can't hear us. And so we keep telling them, turn them up, when we think that in before long you'll have your skin done just by the decibels that come out of the speakers. And so anyways, first of all, may I say thank you very, very much, Brother Bell and Anchor Baptist Church, for allowing me and letting me come. And do you feel like you're under the spit zone? Out of all the sermons you could have picked to sit right here, this one's going to hit about four rows back all the way across. So, and you think I'm kidding. So you might as well, hey, you better hope I don't do the sprinkler. Amen. So, and did I just dance in the pulpit? And well, it's better than doing the washing. Never mind. I better stop. Amen. And for some of you old timers, the waltz. And so anyways, but thank you very much for letting me come. The room, the fellowship, and the meals, I've just enjoyed myself. Always a joy to come and see the church and it grow and how healthy it is. And you definitely are an anchor in a lot of people's lives. And when they think of some place they could go to get their burdens lifted, this is the first place that comes to mind. And Brother Jenkins, what an honor it is to preach with you. And I'm just overwhelmed, honored to be here. And you never take lightly when you get a chance to go preach God's word. Amen. Now, I'll tell you this much. If you didn't come to stay in, you came to the wrong place. This is an In-N-Out Burger to where you get in and get out. And as you notice, there is no drive-through here. And by the way, there is a penalty for taking your body out of this service early. We're like the government. We'll get ours on your way out. Make sure you stay. It is 7:27 right now. I'm not letting the time bother me at all because we came to get some things done. Amen. And if you like preaching, then you're in the right place. If you came to spectate and criticize, then you're in the wrong place. Amen. But you just could be in the right place to get right with God. And but tonight, Exodus chapter 3, I hope you're there. And Exodus chapter 3, four groups of people I want to encourage tonight, and I mean that. And this is one of those kind of sermons, I'm going to put the train on the track, and it already has a lot of wood in the engine, and the smoke's going up the stack. I've been itching to preach, and we're just going to get it on, and get it done, and listen to Brother Jenkins. But four groups of people that I really desire to encourage tonight, and that, first of all, I would say I really want to encourage the preachers here tonight. I want to encourage the men of God here tonight. And here's my encouragement through the sermon, because I probably will not readdress it. I want to encourage you that you made the right decision when you decided to choose this vocation. That you did not at any point make a wrong choice. And it may seem a little bit hard right now. And it may seem like you should have done something else. And sometimes you get like an airplane and you get about halfway across something and you look down at the gas gauge and figure out, too late to go back. And I'm going to encourage you. You didn't make the right decision. You absolutely made the right decision when you gave your life to lead God's people. I want to say to the college students, Bible college students, or any Bible college students here home for the summertime, would you stand, or you're going to college? And would you stand up if you don't mind? And, can I just tell you this? I admire you. And I just tell you, as a preacher of the gospel, I want to encourage you that you made the right decision when maybe some of your friends chose to go do something else with their life. and you being scared decided, I'm stepping out and I'm going to follow what God wants me to do. If anybody ever tells you that Bible college is easy, call them a liar. Bible college is not easy. And if everybody ever tells y'all, anybody, it's just Bible college. It's not just Bible college. Bless God, it's classroom, it's ministry work, it's social, it's dating, it's academics. But I'll tell you, above that, it's a future, and the devil knows that, and you're on the devil's radar screen. And through the sermon tonight, I want to encourage you that absolutely you made the right decision when you decided to give it all for Jesus Christ. You may be seated. I want to encourage the teenagers tonight that I want to help you clarify if God is reaching down into your life. It's kind of hard to determine, is this God or is it the culture I live in? Is it God that's speaking to my heart or is it everything I've always known? How do I know which is God and which is just the excitement of the moment? That's very difficult to determine sometimes, but I want to help you determine that. Then my last group I want to encourage tonight are all the laymen that are here. Do you know to some degree, especially the men and the single mothers, do you know to some degree you have to be convinced that this is the right kind of church to be in? And when you go to work and when you get out there and labor among the heathen people and they ask you where you go to church at, it's sometimes you as a layman can figure out, well, am I going there because my wife drugged me? Am I going there because my mama wants me in church? And the ability to understand why you are here and why you get up and you come and what is that wind behind your sails that make you get up and come, that's huge. And we need a church full of committed laymen. And I want to encourage you tonight. I think the sermon will apply to everybody. Exodus chapter 3, and let's stand for one last time for the next 5 hours. Exodus chapter 3 in verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. And here's the title of my sermon, I am has sent me. I am has sent me. Let that sink in. The I am has sent me. Moses was caught up in a worry that he had to answer to a group of people the why he's doing what he's about to do. And he was kind of worried that they would not accept him. And God told Moses, you just simply tell them, the I am has sent you. We'll preach on that, the I am has sent me, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I trust that I will be able to articulate everything that is going on in my heart right now. That, Lord, when I read these two passages of Scripture, and I read especially that one phrase, and at that time in my life, I was right in there with Moses. And I knew that I had to have a bigger reason for what I was doing in life than the present event. God, I knew, Lord, as I read this that morning, how that I just stopped in it. At these two verses, God, I found the answer for why I do what I do. God, bless us, please. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May be seated. Every man of God, every college student, every head of household knows what it's like to have to answer the question, why am I doing this? Why do I get up today and take another step in the direction that I'm going? And when you go to answer that question, you've got to come back down, and every man of God does it, when you filter through the lack of pay and you filter through the turmoil sometimes, you always come back down to this one fact. who sent me? What's the motivation behind my next step? And you really have to come down to this. The I am has sent me. It's an honest question you have to answer every day. Who is sending me to do this? Have I been manipulated by my father in his influence? Is that who is sending me? Was it my mother's prayers that I would hear at night as I would come in at 17 years of age? Has that played on my mind to where I think my mom is sending me? Is it a family tradition that all grays become preachers of the gospel? Is that the why? Is that the who that's behind me? Was it that spiritual girlfriend that I dated in high school that she was all about God and all about the Bible? Was it my quest to impress her? Has that lingered in my life to mold me, to make me go, maybe this is what I need to do? Was it my grandmother when I was a teenager that looked at me and said, Bobby, what greatness it would be if you would follow in your dad's footsteps and become a preacher just like him? Is it my grandmother's words and influence on my life? Is that what has sent me? Was it my pastor through the years standing up and going, all God's people ought to be serving him? Well, was it that pressure from the pulpit? Is that the wind behind who I am? Was it my youth pastor and the many times Brother Kip would sit in his car and he would say, Bob, the greatest thing you'll ever do with your life is give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the reason why I'm doing this? Was it my Sunday school teacher? Was it the church that I grew up in? I've known nothing but an independent Baptist church. I've known nothing but hard-hitting preaching. I've known nothing but a culture of selling out to God. And my credibility and my confidence that I need in the Christian life has to be found in the question, who has sent me? Who called me? Who put me out there? And I'm going to pause and say this right now. We don't need preachers that stay in it until it just gets tough and then they get out. We need preachers, and we need college students, and we need teenagers, and we need laymen that will settle the question tonight. Who is it that is sending you to this type of environment, this type of church, behind this type of Bible and this type of culture? And because we don't need you in it for a day, a month, a year. We need you in it till you die. Someone at your funeral ought to stand up and say about you, nobody sent this man to do God's work. It was the Almighty that sent them. Who told you to go to that town? Who told you to go to that church? Who told you to go to that mission field? Who told you to join the kind of church that you're in tonight? If you have to say it's somebody else besides the Almighty, then I say this, you'll peter out until when it gets tough. But the question's got to be answered. As Moses said, when the children of Israel asked me, who is it that sent you our way? God said, you just stand up on your hind legs and you look them straight in their God-given eyeball and you tell them, the I am has sent me. My mom may have birthed me, but she did not send me. My dad may have trained me, but he did not send me. The Christian school may have learned me, but they did not send me. Texas Baptist College may have equipped me, but they did not send me. My wife may have married me, but she did not send me. My father may have employed me, but he did not send me. Longview Baptist Temple may have called me, but they did not send me. Who sent me will determine how long I stay. Who sent me will determine how much I can endure. Who sent me will determine how much I can take. Who sent me will determine how much I can bear. Who sent me will answer the question, is it worth it? Who sent me will answer the question, did I make a right decision? Who sent me will answer the question, will I make it? Who sent me will answer the question, am I wasting my life? My success and failure, your success and failure depends on you answering the question, who is the wind behind your sail? Who is the motivation behind what you do? Who is names on the dotted line when you took the oath to serve him till you die? If it's prestige, you won't make it. If it's money, you won't make it. But if the I am signature's on that certificate in your heart, you'll make it just fine. If my mom is the motivation, but then I better handcuff her to me and take her with me everywhere I go. If my daddy's the reason why, then I better never let that 67-year-old man out of my sight. If it's a girlfriend or a boyfriend or it's my wife, then I better make sure I get a pat on the back from them every single day I live. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not in this thing because I'm a Gray. I'm not in this thing because I went to LBT. I'm in this thing because the great I am has sent me. As long as you know the great I am is behind you. And as long as you know it's the great I am that reached down into your life. And as long as you know it's the great I am that blows on your life and pushes you every day you live. Then my friend, you'll stay in this and you just may win a town to Jesus Christ. You just may help your church go to the next level. It's about time we got in, not got out. I don't stand before you. Papa called and Mama sent. I don't stand before you because it's just the next thing a Gray does. I stand before you because I know in here that the I am has sent me. I'm going to help you clarify what's going on in your heart. Let me be a spokesman. I'll give you four things how I know the I am, Brother Bell, has sent me. Maybe it will encourage your heart tonight. Maybe it will clarify what you're going to do with the rest of your life, teenager. Maybe it will help you dads become more committed to the church you go to. Maybe it will help you missionaries stay on the field. Maybe it will help you pastors hang in it one more day. Because when you know you got all of heaven backing you up, then you can take one more step. Four things and then I'm done. Number one, I know the I am sent me because I had a separating event. You don't understand this. Something happened in my life when I was 17 years of age. I had a separating event. Moses in Exodus chapter 2, and what a poster man, poster child for how God does this. Moses' life is such an encouragement and a mirror for myself that when I came to these passages of scriptures during a dark time, maybe in my life, I never made it past the chapter. And I just fell on my knees and I said, I get it. I understand. I had a separating event. Moses in Exodus chapter 2, and don't turn there, found himself not being able to stand what was happening to God's people. He saw an Egyptian smiting one of his kinfolk and decided to intervene. The Egyptian died and the Egyptian was buried in the sand. His killing of the Egyptian was known and he knew he could not stay in the land of Egypt. So God in his infinite wisdom knew that he had to get Moses out of Egypt. And get Moses separated from the world. And get Moses on the backside of the desert. So that he could have a leader that would walk back into Egypt and lead God's people out of bondage. Did you get that? God knew he had to separate Moses from the world and not make him fit in the world's system. And get him on the backside of the desert in complete loneliness and isolation so he could perfect him. So he could walk right back in to Egypt and lead God's people out of Egypt. You say, when did you know the I am was separating you? I'll tell you how I knew the I am. Because I had a separating event. There came a day when I was 17 years of age that I no longer fit in this world's system. And I thought I was weird, and I thought I was odd, and I thought maybe something's wrong with me. But I know now what it was. It was the great I am saying, I need somebody that I can get out of the world and take them to the backside of the desert of loneliness and teach them so they one day can walk back into Egypt and look at God's people and say, I know how to get out of bondage, and I know how to get out of here. Now why don't you let me lead you out? Something happened to me between my junior and senior year in high school. I was at a camp and God literally got a hold of me. Up until that time, I was cool. You don't believe that, do you? Up until that time, I was hip. Now I'm a lot more hip, amen. That hurts me when you laugh at me right there that much. Up until that point, athletics was my deal. Freshman, sophomore, junior year. I really didn't care if I played basketball, Matt Bell, who it was against. I was going to win. And don't ever second guess you can take me because I'll knock you out. We had Coach Holland. Joe knows who he is. He's a maniac of a coach. He said, bless God, Bob Gray. Do you know why God gave you that big old rear end? I'm going to tell you why he gave you that big old rear end. Because it's meant to go like that, and it's meant to back people out of that lane. Sorry about that. Oops, I am really sorry about that. He said, when you get in there, you got five fouls. The first four, somebody better be bleeding. And on that fifth one, you just act like it wasn't you. I'm going to tell you right now, I said, bless God, I can do that. So good old number 34 got back in the lane. I'd pick the biggest guard, and I'd just back him out of that lane. I'd knock him down, look at him, say, get that, and get off. Well, I was mad. Yeah, I'm scared. Don't cry. It's okay. It wasn't basketball, bless God. It was football without pads. I remember one time we went to the huddle, and I said, Coach, I can't move him. That boy's not moving. He said, then turn funny on him. I said, now how exactly do you turn funny on somebody? He said, Bob, if you can't back him out with that thing, he said, you get down in that lane next time you reach up and you just sort of tickle his legs. He'll move. So if I have to take one for the team, I guess I can. We came out after halftime, and I backed down into that lane, and they're working that ball, and I backed him in, and he wasn't about to move, so I reached up and went, R-r-r-r-r. He said, whoa, I don't swing that way. I went back to the huddle and said, Coach, it works. Next time down the thing, I just, whoa, I want nothing to do. Now, I thought that was pretty good because I was clearing out that lane until the reputation started spreading through the league. Hey, number 34 over there, something wrong with that guy. I came back my senior year, and God had so changed me that something was wrong with me. I used to be able to flirt with the girls and they'd melt. I used to be cool. I was swagger when I walk. Now they make deodorant after that kind of name. I was right in there. I came back my senior year, Brother Bell, and I have no idea what was wrong with me. Now my jokes weren't funny to the boys, Brother Jenkins. Now the girls looked at me with disdain, and now it was almost like I didn't fit at the lunch table, and I didn't fit in the social economy, and I had no desire for cars, and I had no desire for money, and I had no desire to be popular, and I had no desire to be cool, and I had no fight in me, and I had no anger in me. And I remember one time I knocked a guy down on a pick, and he fell down. I found myself going, I'm sorry, can I help you up? And Joe's dad was going, Bob, you got to stop. We're in the middle of a game. And I said, I'm sorry. I remember getting the huddle one time, and it was getting close. Man, these people were getting upset. We got to win this game. We're down. Coach is screaming. I found myself going, calm down. It is just a game. It doesn't matter who wins this game. As long as God gets the glory. My teammates look at me and said, what is wrong with you, Bob? You have to stop this. It's kill, 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 kill. And I was like, you can't kill these poor people. You know what happened to me? I no longer fit in this world. And some of you, no matter where you go, will not fit in this world. How do I know if this is the right profession? Because you couldn't do anything else. You don't fit in the corporate world. You don't fit with the big salaries. You don't fit with the big cars. All of a sudden, cars meant nothing, and money meant nothing, and prestige meant nothing, and degrees were just a waste of time. In college, I endured because I got someplace to go. Who wants to sit in a stinking classroom? Get me out of here. It was the great I am behind me, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you feel the same way, that you just don't fit in this wicked world, you don't get its jokes, you don't get its humor, you don't get its immorality, you don't understand it. Just could be the I am is reaching down into you and just going, I'm not going to let you fit. And I'm going to make you odd in the desert so that you can walk back into Egypt. No greater feeling than to see God's people in bondage and to have the answer for their life. And every time I get called out, it's incredible. You don't know this, but I've got a separate suit just hanging, and it's just right there. And I told my wife, I said, many a time in 25 years, get a phone call at 2 in the morning. Yes, somebody's in a fight. You see, you think we cry when you get in a fight. We don't. We get happy. It's like, have you fought lately? Can I help your marriage? Sir, are you drunk? Are you smoking? And it's almost like we hope you are. And you jump out of bed and you jump into your suit and it's Super Bob. And I get in my Super Bob Buick. Knock on the door. I am your salvation. How do you do that? Because of the pay and the hours? Are you crazy? It's because of the I am. The I am has reached down. And some of you sitting here right now, it's burning on the inside of you. And man of God, it's burning on the inside of you because you know exactly what I'm saying. It is almost like I could choose anything else, but I just wouldn't fit. Why? Because the I am wants somebody to get out of Egypt and not fit in Egypt so you can be an oddball independent Baptist so you can walk back in on the job and help some old drunk and help some old whoremonger and help somebody going through a divorce. God wants to use you, and it's the I am. Who put me into this? Wasn't my dad. It was the I am. How do you know, Brother Gray, that the I am? Because I had a separating event. Second thing I know is because I had a burning bush experience. Not only did I have a separating event, but as I walk through and look at Moses, I right in there with him, I had a burning bush experience. Moses walked up to this burning bush. And the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. It wasn't going out. And I thought to myself, that's me. You want to know why? Because when I turned 17, something started burning on the inside. And I'm a little bit weird. And I'll tell you why I'm a little bit weird. Other people, don't look at me that way, Stephanie. Other people look at cars. Cars turn their head. On a bus full of a bunch of teenage guys, and you let a nice red 57 Chevy pull up, decked out. All the guys are to this side, and they're going, wow. You let a shopping mall come on this side, and all the girls are this side, and the bus does that, but all the girls are on this side, and they're going, wow. I'm a little bit weird. You want to know why? Because when God did something in my heart, all of a sudden church buildings, wow. I mean, when I pass a church building, that's a church building. Driving down the road, that's a church building. And it's almost like, this is church. I'll tell you what excites me, that pulpit. That's a pulpit. You don't understand. It doesn't mean much to you, but that's a pulpit. I mean, that's a pulpit. That's a pulpit. It just, oh, baby, look at the lines. That's a pulpit. That's a platform. That's a chair. That's a choir loft. It's a baptistry. Rubber ducky, he's the one. He makes my life worth so much fun. Rubber ducky, let me tell you something. And God bless you, and God bless you. You don't understand. It started burning when I was 17 about church. This is a church building. That's a piano. That's an organ. And she hadn't gone out yet. I can't wait to get to church. You say, oh, I can't wait to get out of church. Are you serious? This is church. You understand what happens to a preacher? We get like, we're going to preach. The worst time, Brother Jenkins and I talked this afternoon. Brother Jenkins, I couldn't stand it. From the time I left you talking about God and church and everything else until the time it was time to get picked up, I'm in my motel room. I'm talking to Kelly on the phone, and she said, you're pacing, aren't you? I said, baby, we got church in a couple of hours. I wish we'd hold church right now. Man, I got to go preach. And you think to us, it's like, oh, here we go again. Are you serious, man? It's burning on the inside, and it's like, woo, we got to go preach. I can't explain it, but I know what's happening on the inside. It's a burning bush that just keeps on burning and just keeps on. Hey, Tina Turner ain't got nothing on God. Amen. Elvis with his hunk of burning love. Let me tell you something. Jesus started it in here when I was 17. I can't get enough of church. Basketball or church? Church. Pizza or church? Church. Travel during church or church? Church. Kissing my wife or church? Both. In fact, I'll just kiss her in church and get both burnings going. Amen. It's just church. Man, when I walk past somebody that's got John 3:16 on the front, you need to get right with God, ma'am. When you got John 3:16 on the front and they're walking past me, I'm going, that's a Bible verse. Some wino, the other day I was sewing, some wino had a shirt on, said John 3:16. That's a Bible verse. He goes, I thought it was just something they held up at a ball game. I said, that's a Bible verse. I almost wanted to hug that wino because he had a Bible verse. I'm so in love with God, and it burns so much, I can't go to sleep until I'm listening to preaching. The iPhones are great, man. I'll crank up that iPhone underneath my pillow, and I'll put my wife, God's truth, you call her tonight and ask her. When I say I'm going to bed early, she goes, yeah, right. I take that iPhone, and I get Jack Hiles, and I push play on the iPhone, and I got just enough time, but by the time Johnny Colson's done reading the scripture, and I put my head against my pillow, and Jack Hiles puts me to sleep every night. Woo! That's okay, I put some of you to sleep, and I've only been preaching 10 minutes. You don't understand. Brother Matt, why don't y'all get back up here? See, to you, it's just music. Some of you sit out there and you're like, that's boring music. Y'all make sure you step back here if you don't mind. And it's like, it's not just music. Step back and just start playing. Turn them down just a tad below me. Just start playing. It's church, and it's singing time.
Grace at the foot of a rugged cross on Calvary.
I found grace.
Grace with the awesome power to set the captive free. I found grace. So much grace. Fulfilling, indwelling, His loving grace. Grace amazing, grace to meet my need, yes, my need.
And it starts right there.
I sought for wisdom in the ways of this world.
Listen to the words.
But no wisdom could be found.
You say, well,
I sought
that's
for
boring.
Meaning in
only
the
if the bush isn't burning
man.
On the inside, that's boring.
But their words just led me down.
And if you can't get happy about that, something's wrong with you, my friend.
For the things that I've done.
It's burning in
the
man.
My soul needed mercy.
Look at him. He's about ready to bust
it in God's
bucket right there. Want to know why?
Well, I found grace.
Grace at the foot of a rugged cross on Calvary.
I found grace.
Grace.
was 17, God started doing something in here. And anybody who sings about him, it just keeps getting that fire bigger.
Fulfilling, indwelling, his loving grace. Grace amazing.
Let the fire burn for a little bit.
My need, yes, my need. Give up the search. It's a useless dream you're chasing. You'll find no peace.
They're not even dancing.
The answer's right before
you. They don't even have a disco ball.
At the foot of a cross.
There's no beer being sold.
You'll find that it's a holy place. Confess your sins.
Come is connecting from the oldest to the youngest. I'll tell you why. Because God's alive and the great I am.
Grace with the awesome power to set the captive free.
Enjoy it.
To meet my need. Yes, I found grace. Grace with the awesome power to set the captive free. Sustaining grace.
So much grace.
Fulfilling, indwelling, his loving grace. Grace, amazing grace. Grace, amazing.
Listen to me. I'll tell you why this is a rush serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's because the I am is not out there dragging me. The I am is just pushing me and pushing me, and I can't stand it. Man, I don't know how to explain it. Got in Brother Bell's car, and he's a man after my own heart. I don't know if you know this or not, but your pastor likes to listen to his music loud. I love my music loud. I want to hear every breath. I want to hear every syllable. I want to hear every time they go, ooh, I want to hear it. But I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter if it's the worst singer or the best singer. They're singing about the I am. I'm in all the way. We've sung on buses. We've sung in bathrooms. We've sung in McDonald's. We've sung on the park. We've sung in church. We've sung around the piano. And when it's all about him, I'm in. Some of you think, how do I know if I made the right decision? It's okay. Do you fit in this world? If you don't fit, you made the right decision. And if it burns on the inside anytime a preacher gets going, anytime a singer gets going, anytime somebody just says, you know, the poetry of the King James just really gets me going. You can tell when somebody's not reading from the King James, even if you don't have a Bible in front of you. Because the poetry of it just makes you go, incredible. How do you know the I am has called you, Brother Gray? Because I don't fit in this world. The bush burns on the inside and I just can't help it. But number three, I hear the cry of the people. I hear it. Moses, in Exodus 3, God said, Moses, I've seen the affliction, I've heard the cry. Moses said, I hear it too, God. I don't see a packed building tonight. I hear the cry. I don't see a car. I see the driver. I don't see the house. I see the family. I don't see the bad music. I see the emptiness. I don't hear the punkish laughter. I hear the loneliness. I don't see the body, I see the soul. I don't see rebellion, I see brokenness. I don't see a bus rider, I see the person. And I don't see a financial gain, I see a spiritual opportunity. And if you're sitting here and you can't stand it for someone to go hungry, and you can't stand it for someone to fight, and if you can't stand it for someone to be empty, and you can't stand it for someone to be poor, and you can't stand it for somebody to be rich and miserable, and you just can't stand it, listen to me, then this is your kind of church, and this is your kind of business.
Because it's the only business that you hear the cry. You shake a hand and you hear the cry. I didn't think this would ever happen to me, but when I started pastoring, I found my heart every time I would stand to preach, looking out the crowd and not just seeing someone miserable, but hearing that pain. Because it's the heart of God that God goes, can you hear it? That's why you don't need a church that's all about rich people. That's why you don't need a church that's all about the money. It's about the people. Last thing's this. Not only did I have a separating event, not only did I have a burning bush experience, not only could I hear the cry of the people, but I knew I was nothing. Moses in Exodus chapter 3 had a problem. Moses said, God said, Moses, you're going to go lead my people out. And Moses said, who am I? Why would you use me? And I'll tell you this much. About the time, Brother Jenkins, you think you're acting, waxing eloquent in the pulpit. God has a way. When nobody's looking, to take that rug and just sort of slowly pull it out from underneath of you and let you hang yourself. I mean, the other day I had a sermon. I'm going to tell you right now, when I outlined the sermon, I thought, what a great sermon. Oh, God, you should have consulted me when you wrote the book. I could have put some thoughts in there. I am not exaggerating right now, nor am I preaching. I'm telling the truth. When I got done writing the sermon, I usually, after I write a sermon, go to prayer. Take it to the altar and go to prayer. God help me if I didn't make the classic mistake of rug pulling experience. I never prayed over it because she fell right into place. Boom, 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 boom. Illustrations. Oh, man, I'm good. And that's all there is to it. God darkened my grammar through the entire sermon. The word I said through the entire sermon, title, if I said it once, I said it no less 150 times. It's online. Go listen to it. I'm very serious. I've tried to erase it 10 times, and God won't let it get off the stinking World Wide Web. He said, when I humble you, I'm going to humble you good. Man, I was going after it. I knew it was good because the people got quiet. And I knew it was good because mamas were looking at their babies, talking to them when the babies were talking. I said, the revival's happening in the pews. Daddies are leaning over and talking. My staff was even talking. It's like, man, this is getting good. If the staff starts talking during the sermon, this is getting, God's doing something. The word that I used was superfluous. Thank you, Brother Bell, for laughing. And I can see you're no smarter than I am either. It's superfluous, not superfluous. Superfluous. I am preaching along. Bless God, what we need is a superfluous church. We need superfluous members. We need a superfluous budget. We need a superfluous gospel. I preached the whole thing. Man, I am just like moving down this road. Superfluous this, superfluous that, superfluous y'all, superfluous y'all, superfluous the whole world. Bless God, we need. I get done with the sermon. And I'm walking out the side door. The guys who walk with me, I say usually, how'd the sermon go? Pastor, that was great. This time, how'd the sermon go? Good. Going to the office, ask the secretaries. Before I start counseling, that was a great sermon, wasn't it? Yeah. And I'm thinking, man, conviction's so thick, they can't even talk. I am standing in my conference room getting ready to counsel, and they elected a staff member to come tell me. I know the conversation. You go tell them. I'm not telling them. My paycheck's on the line. I'm not going to correct the pastor. Brother Zinn comes in. He said, Pastor, can I talk to you? He's over our schools. And I said, absolutely. I said, what'd you think about the sermon? He goes, Well, Pastor, I don't know how to tell you this, but the word is not pronounced superfluous. And I was like, I knew that. He goes, Pastor, the word is superfluous. And I was like, are you telling me that I just got out there and made a complete fool of myself and murdered the King's English and grammar? Yes. The next week, fifth grader, handing out dum-dums. Fifth grader goes, superfluous. Do you know how I know the I am is calling me? Because he says, I don't want the mighty. I don't want the talented. I don't want the good looking. I don't want the high. I don't want the castle. Give me the weak. God wants the humble. If you don't think very much of yourself and you fit into a church like this, it's probably the I am is your motivation. And until you settle why you come, and until you get back down to business and say the reason I do is because of the I am, I can tell you this, I may mess up tomorrow, and that's not a prophetic statement, I really hope. But I'll tell you this, up until this day, it's not been because my last name's Gray. And it's the biggest misnomer when preacher sons get into the ministry. Oh, you're doing it just because your daddy's doing it. You look at me and listen to me. My dad can't help me through what I'm going through right now. The only win behind these sails has got to be the I am. So when I look at my wife and I say, let's go, I know it's the I am saying, let's go. What about you tonight that are probably thinking about going to another church or pastors thinking about getting out of the ministry? Have you had a separating event? Does the bush burn on the inside? Can you watch a missions video and cry like a baby and say, I'll go? Do you just stop and help people? And are you always making mistakes? Then it just can be the I am's behind your Christian life. May you be able to say with confidence, I'll tell you who sent me, the I am.